12:21. Let's welcome in our friend Andy Hart. You can see him with us on Twitch. You'll hear him on the Harbor One Hotline. Andy Hart is presented by McFarland Energy. If you need dependable home oil delivery or HVAC work in Greater Boston, the North Shore, or the Cape, please visit McFarlandEnergy.com. Just quickly, Brian Daboll has just said that Daniel Jones's season is not over. He's convinced he'll play again in 2023. Said when he's healthy, the job is his. No competition with Tyrod Taylor, but it looks like Daniel Jones is going to be out for a bit.
Oh, well, he just has to do what Aaron Rodgers is doing.
Just will it to existence.
You have to think really hard about being healthy, and everything's going to be fine.
Hart, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We are lovely and trying to solve all the world's problems.
Oh,
or at least
going?
In Patriot. Well, you know, we worked ourselves into a fruity whip headache, as Beavis would say. You know, we've asked questions like, how do you make changes without causing in-season instability? How in the world do you take away just the player-picking ability from Bill Belichick and leave him in as the head coach? Hart, do you think this kind of narrows down to how the Patriots go about trying to push Bill Belichick out the door versus telling him to leave and maybe having to hand him a massive check to do so?
Well, it's a great question, and I give you credit for that, Gresh. I think you brought that up a year ago when we were in studio and having a Belichick discussion about future and power, and you don't know the contract, and that is a massive, you know, if he's due $75 million guaranteed the next 3 years, that's a lot of money. That's a consideration. Now, if he's got some weird Tim Wakefield rolls over year to year and, you know, the sides can walk away at the end of the year, then that's a different version. But I do think we're having all these grand discussions, and I'm even throwing out things like Devin McCourty and Gerard Mayo should run the Patriots together and things like that. We're all, hey, why are you laughing? What's wrong with that? Okay, let's stop for a minute then.
Wait, what?
Why are you laughing?
Yeah, it's like so the Patriots are suddenly the Colts, and they're going to bring like Jeff Saturday. Like they're the Patriots version of Jeff Saturday to come run the team.
No,
wait,
it's,
you don't think Devin McCourty is an impressive human being who might be capable of organizing a front office?
I think that's an absolute no.
I think I'm 1,000% no. Yeah. All of them in TV right now, it's a hell no. You want to bring a guy off that just left the field who's in TV now and say, hey, come run a multi-billion-dollar corporation.
Yeah.
Don't screw it up, by the way, and there's no margin for error, right? Because I'm assuming by hiring you, you're better than the other guy. That would be the dumbest, stupidest thing in the history of sports. Oh, yeah, the Colts already did it. It's horrible.
Wow.
No, I'm not saying he's not an intelligent person, but let's you know, cut your teeth with a college team, with an
like
arena
John Lynch?
Team.
Like John Lynch?
John Lynch is special.
Oh, because I believe he's orchestrated arguably the best roster in football, and it's so good that he can blow a trade
to the nth degree and still be
one of the best teams.
If you look at John Lynch, he cut his teeth by having these relationships with owners, with teams, as a, I would call Fox's number two team.
Okay.
He had already had a massive, unbelievable reputation. He went to Stanford. He has that little pedigree with him. And his agent, who was David Dunn, also orchestrated these relationships as he was monitoring his, as he was like being a play-by-play guy. This was all in the works way in advance beforehand. It's not to give away trade secrets, but it's a different situation. Now, if Devin McCourty wanted to do that, he would get with his agent. He would start building relationship with owners, with the right team, with GMs, with players, with other agents who run the NFL just as much as some owners do. And then he would find himself in the perfect situation.
Do like the idea. He's just a couple years away from doing it, right?
I would say, like, if you're talking about right now, I'm saying no. That would be a Jeff Saturday.
It was 10 years, by the way,
from when
Lynch went into broadcasting before he then became the GM.
Not saying that he can't do it, Andy. I would say right now, this is all crazy time. It's Jeff Saturday. It's Indianapolis Colts.
Isn't because you didn't listen to the full plan, and that's part of the plan. And Gresh, this is where you started, the Belichick angle. Are you pushing him out? Are you firing him? How exactly are we massaging Bill Belichick's departure from New England? And the reason I thought of this is because we know Jerod Mayo is here. We know Robert Kraft has said he's going to be an NFL head coach. We hope it's here. So it feels like you kind of have your coach in waiting. I don't know if that's still the plan or not, but let's just use that as a starting point. And we know the respect Bill has for Jerod Mayo, had as a player, made him a captain immediately. People used to call him like Baby Bill on the field and everything. Like, he was Bill's guy. Devin McCourty had a similar ascension in New England. I believe he was made a captain year two and had a 10-year-plus career as the perfect guy that Bill loved and adored. Then you have Bill Belichick maybe being pushed into a consultant role. Who's he going to listen to? Who would he accept a consultant role with? Maybe Devin McCourty and Jerod Mayo if they tag team to take over the organization. And Devin McCourty played at Rutgers with Steve Belichick, who was also his coach here. So maybe this is a scenario where Bill gets what he wants. Steve and Brian Belichick stick around working for Jerod Mayo and Devin McCourty, and he's the consultant who can help facilitate all the relationships.
This is the craziest you are talk of.
This is what we do on podcasts. This is what we do on the Six Rings.
I get it, and it is. And I would, when they lost their fifth game, I said everything's on the table. So I will allow it. I will, because I feel like everything's on the table. I will add this though, Andy. Devin McCourty at this point in time in his life is better suited than Jeff Saturday to run a team.
Absolutely,
and this particular team, because he was on the team. And he knows the guys, and he has the better relationships than Jeff Saturday, who was so far removed. He was like 50 pounds removed. He lost all that weight.
But he also, Saturday was thrown into the fire as the coach. I would like Devin McCourty as an organizational figurehead and upper management. And we know he's a smart guy. We've seen what he's done in social justice, going to the State House, working with Matthew Slater and people in that area. The charity work he does, the TV work, by the way, which I would argue he immediately became the best expatriate broadcaster over the last 6 weeks. I think he has done a phenomenal job.
Come on, just punch yourself right in the face for you.
What?
Have you seen some of the work I've done lately?
Yeah. You've
missed it. You missed all the Fridays.
The best former Patriot broadcasters, Devin, you just want to kick Fourier right in the balls?
Well, I meant discussing the NFL. I see you mostly in college with that guy whose voice was funny the time I watched the game with you.
Good redirect, Hart. Well, good save there.
I'm with you on that one. I'm with you. Listen, I think
Devin's great and you suck. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, okay. Sure, I'll give him his flowers at the Merlin Olsen Field. but anyways, I feel like all those guys, but I thought you were going more, hey, taking over the team like a Jeff Saturday.
No. It would be, because I think they believe that Mayo has now done enough legwork as a coach so that he's handling the coaching, although it looks like he would, in an ideal world, if Bill O'Brien stays, and I know a lot of people push back against, I want to blow it up, I want to tear it down to the studs, whatever.
Yeah.
Which I'm not really in that world. I think that's really hard to do, and I think when you do that, it often doesn't work. Way more often it doesn't work than it does work. I think you're trying to find, not the next Belichick, because that's not fair, but Belichick had ties to the New England organization and the Crafts, and they knew what he was, what they wanted, and they thought that married up. I think if you look for Mayo, McCourty, whoever, because I also think that relationship between the next coach and the guy who's running the organization is critical, because I'm not giving anybody full power like Bill has, and I think you're looking for ideally a Seattle model, right, where John Schneider and Pete Carroll have worked hand-in-hand for a long time. McCourty, Mayo, they worked okay calling defenses and checking signals, and they were in a locker room together as a player and as a coach. And just saying, it's not as stupid as you first made it sound.
Well, here's the thing, Andy Hart of WEEI.com. No, because I land on this. If you just want to move on from Bill, but keep all the people that Bill taught the game to or football to, then what are you really doing at the end of the day?
And well, you're moving on from the guy who makes bad decisions now and is the king of the court, and but he's not the same brain.
Who has influenced every football person in that organization, or is responsible for them in some way, shape, or form having their job. Where I have a hard time is, has Bill taken some lumps? There's no questions. They did go to the playoffs in 2021. I think the fact that we've turned Bill into Matthew, or some have tried to turn Bill into Nathaniel Hackett, is like that. That's clearly overboard. But at
hasn't been a good coach or a GM.
But at the end of the day, then, if that is the case, why keep the people who have really only learned under him? It just
doesn't. The system can work even if the person who created the system is now making terrible decisions.
But supposedly the system is antiquated. And if all of those
I don't know that to be true.
You don't think Bill's ways are, because there are those who have said, well, Bill's lost his fastball. He doesn't know 20. Again, in 2023 football, it's all offense, da-da-da, all that kind of stuff. But if those people all grew up underneath of him, the only person who really has a vast different level of experience would be Bill O'Brien. And I don't know if they want to hand it over to him coming off of what might be a worse offensive season than Fat Patricia.
But you take what you learn and then you mold it and you adjust it. It's been the evolution of the West Coast offense or the Shanahan offense, whatever it may be. I don't necessarily believe that the Belichick way is idiotic and dated. I think he has made some bad decisions and he has allowed the organization to make bad specific decisions. Doesn't mean his general template for a football team or a philosophy is flawed. Like an example I'll give. Now, it's a bad example because everybody's going to say, Josh McDaniels sucks. Good example. But Josh McDaniels left New England where Bill has decided for the last few years, like, whatever, he doesn't value the wide receiver position necessarily the way others do, right? Well, Josh McDaniels learned everything he knows from Bill Belichick. And Dave Ziegler learned a lot of what he knows from Bill Belichick. And the first thing they did when they got to Las Vegas was go get Davante Adams, right? So they are born and bred in the Belichickian way, which right now says, yeah, Juju Smith-Schuster and Devontae Parker, that's the way to go. They didn't agree with it. They changed some things when they got to Vegas. And that's what I think you're looking for. You still may believe in the foundation because Bill's foundation, hell, the Ravens are pretty good. And the Ravens are built in Belichickian scouting and foundational principles under Ozzie Newsome and the evolution of that. You just might need a new mind. Like it's like anything else. There's companies that are built, and then at some point, somebody on the board of directors goes, "We got to get the old guy out." I mean, I know it's his company, but he's making some really bad decisions, and you move on, and you hope the next generation, whether it's familial or not, takes those reins and improves upon it. And I think that's what you're looking for.
All right, so we're talking to Andy Hart. Andy, should I read anything into the fact that the Patriots are practicing in full pads today?
No. I mean, I think this whole analysis paralysis of like how they react Monday versus Tuesday. Why were you on the field on Tuesday? And Bill's like, well, we were on the West Coast, so we moved it a little bit because we were coming back from the West. Like sometimes we get all caught up in thinking and analyzing things, and it's like, okay, for all I know, he had this scheduled. Maybe he maps out his, whatever the hell it is, 14 padded practices, and he's like, you know what? About that time, we're probably going to need it, or prepare for the Bills with Pat. There could be a million reasons.
Well, what do you think? What do you think? Because I 100% believe it is, we better use up all these padded practices because we're not physical enough, we're not good enough.
And you're not healthy enough either. If you were going to base it on some of that, wouldn't you say they had 16 guys on the injury report last week? They got a few more guys banged up in the game. Holy crap, a third of the team or more than a third of the team is banged up. We probably shouldn't be in pads this week.
Well, that's why I think they're so desperate to fix this thing in a hurry. And playing like is something as close to a real game environment is massively important to him, is the way I would read. I think it's obvious.
And I would also argue that.
And I don't think they're pre-planned.
The one thing that they've done well of late, or I don't even know if I can say done well and of late, but like that drive in the third quarter where they ran the ball looked pretty good. Ezekiel Elliott running out of the Wildcat. You're probably running Malik Cunningham, Wildcat, gadget, different types of plays, read option. You probably want to see some offensive line blocking on those and some run fits on those defensively, like different things. There's probably advantages to what they're going to do in pads. Like we see it in camp, the days when they're in full pads and they can work on the running game. And I think you probably are going to fixate on the running game a little bit, whether it's Stevenson and Elliott or the Malik Cunningham factor here. I'm guessing they don't really want to get in a shootout with the Bills. I'm guessing they don't believe they can win a shootout with Josh Allen and Steph Diggs and the Bills. I'm guessing they don't want what Bill called this morning the best NFL pass rush, just getting after it with whoever the hell the tackles are. I mean, I don't know, maybe Connor McDermott gets his shot. But I think there's some reasons, yes, some things they need to fix. I don't know. If two tackles do a twist in the middle. I want my guys with pads on trying to block those two guys in practice and figure out how to do it, because they sure as crap haven't been able to figure out how to do it on a Sunday.
Yeah, that Adam Butler thing, I don't know if you watched that play. I Zapruder'd that. Go look at the sneaky grab on the right shoulder pad of Andrews. It was that's a Belichick taught move.
I was going to say, where did he learn that?
Yeah,
the coach who doesn't respect him and didn't come and see him post game.
That was pretty good, right? How amazing was that? He didn't come and genuflect to me. I was only a backup here.
Who the bleep does Adam Butler think he is?
Well, everybody, it's welcome to Gen Z, Hart. Everybody Holy needs Moses. Their love.
Between
My
the
God.
Outfit and the little whining.
Thank you with the outfit.
The outfit was terrible. Outfit was pretty bad. Hart, I brought this up to Kern yesterday. I'm curious for your thought. I am really convinced that if there is a seismic change that is coming with the Patriots at the end of the year, Jonathan Kraft's got to be the real decision maker. Are you buying that?
Yeah, to some degree. I don't think Robert is out to pasture yet. I don't think Robert's just sitting back and you know, letting everything Jonathan wants to do. But I do think this is a big decision. This is not a 1 year, 2 year. This is a 3 to 5 to 10 year decision, right? How you handle
sure.
the departure of Bill Belichick. And I'm not even talking about just the obvious, well, you hired a new coach, well, you got a GM, or you keep Matt Groh, whatever. Like, there's that stuff. But even the... You want Bill Belichick to be a member of the Patriot fraternity, correct? You want him at Tom Brady Day 2.0 and Tom Brady Day 3.0, and then you want Belichick Day 1.0. So if you screw this up, we know he holds a grudge. We all saw the parts, right? You don't want to hold Bill Belichick Day in 3 years at Gillette Stadium without Bill Belichick. So there's a lot of things that go into this, and they're going to fall on Jonathan's plate, because Robert is what he is in terms of age. Right? Yeah. Like, that's a real thing. So... But I also can't see Robert just saying, all right, Jonathan, can you call me later? Just let me know what you decide, when you're getting rid of Bill, how you like. I think he still has a pretty significant voice in the discussion.
Because we played the first part of a little bit of audio that we played today was Kraft doing like a podcast or doing a sit-down interview. I can't remember who the guy was.
Yep.
But they asked him about Bill, and I'm paraphrasing here, is that he basically said regarding Bill and whether he stays or goes, is you basically have to ask him. We need to figure out what he wants to do. And it sounded real similar to what Kraft said regarding Brady and his contract situation. Do you read into that at all?
Well, I believe that was recorded in August. That was a lifetime ago. That was a couple embarrassing ass whoopings ago. That was a 1-5 ago. Conditions on the ground may have changed since then for Robert Kraft.
Gotten worse.
Yeah, much, much worse. And I don't think how could he have? He's never been through this. He never saw Bill go through this. So that predated Bill Belichick's worst loss. That predated the Patriots' worst home shutout loss. So Robert couldn't have imagined the wheels would fall off to this degree. So I think we have to say, okay, you felt that then, and I think you believed it then. How do you feel now? And I do think his feelings have to change now. What did you guys think of Bill just saying, right now I'm just focused on the Bills? Do you even believe him when he says that? Is he just focused on the Bills right now, preparing for Buffalo?
Well,
is this every other week? Oh, we're 1-5, and I know we have no shot to make the playoffs, and I know Mac is this, but like, is he really just focused on winning this week?
Well, I think he is, only because he's got to at least parrot the narrative, because he's got to get the players to buy it as well, and it's just focus on 1 week, because for his in all honesty, Hart, I also think too, if Bill gets fired, like, I'm not saying the guy doesn't want to work or that he doesn't care that he gets fired, but I don't know if it's the kind of thing that's keeping him up at night.
But doesn't he have to have discussion? We talk about Jonathan, like, they're figuring things out. Shouldn't Bill either be involved in those discussions or at least know where those discussions are going? We had a trade deadline coming.
Maybe. And that's what I was just going to get to, is with the deadline coming in 2 weeks, maybe there haven't been the discussions yet as to, Bill, what you can or can't do.
Right.
And if there even is going to be that.
Right, and those discussions have to happen on a Kraft level before they can happen on any other level.
So, you know, do they say to Bill, you can't go try to make a big trade with Denver or something like that? There's all those things to work through as well. Andy Hart at WEEI.com, the Six Rings Post Game Show, the Six Rings Podcast, the Breaking Boston Podcast, anything else?
No, that's a good job. No,
all right. I was just going to say, I didn't know if they gave you more. I didn't know if Coop's got to produce something else with you, too, or whatever.
Don't plant any seeds of ideas. I'm good with my plate being full right now with lots of vegetables, courtesy of Awakened.
Look at you and those Caramel Crunch protein bars, man. Those things are real
tremendous.
Good.
Tremendous.
They are. They're fantastic.
Most of their food is pretty damn good.
Sneaky good, got to say.
The veggie chili? Who knew that Andy Hart would ever eat veggie chili and say, that's good?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I never saw that coming. That button hooked me. It's like this Patriot season. I never saw this kind of dysfunction coming. Never saw the veggie chili being good.
Well, there you go. Andy Hart, veggie chili guy. Who would have thunk? We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
All right, buddy.